One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thank you for coming back to our little program here. Bobby's here on the soundboard.
Woo!
Dave, I'm not going to ask you to say anything because I know you're sick. Sit this one out. You're fine.
Dave is going to be miming this episode.
Yeah, but you know what, Dave? I'm not going to do the shitty thing that I cannot stand when people do when I'm sick, is they go, oh my God, don't get me sick. That boils my blood. You're already not feeling well. You're already fucking, you're feeling miserable. You're at work, which Dave is right now.
That's true.
And people are sitting there going, oh my God, are you sick? Oh my God, go home. Do not get me sick. I cannot get sick right now. This is not a good time for me to be sick. Like, as if there's ever a good time to be sick. If there was any, sometimes, like, you know, if there was one time a year to get the flu, I think this is it.
Hold on. You could think of some good times to be sick. Like, you're about to take your getting drafted into the Army medical review. You know, it'd be nice to be sick at that point.
All right. In that instance,
yeah.
Sure.
Pretty common. That still happens a lot.
Yeah.
If someone was about to force you to have sex with a crime boss.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one, too. Yeah. Like, you're in the Princess Leia Jabba the Hutt situation.
Right.
Yeah,
right. If you have a pretty nasty phlegm thing going on, maybe you could buy yourself a little reprieve.
I feel like Jabba the Hutt's into that, though.
So. Yeah. Okay. Oh, all right. All right. True. Bad example. But, you know, let's say Kingpin from Spider-Man.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay. Non-mucus sexual related activity.
No, I texted both of you. Say, hey, I'm sick today. If it's a concern of either you getting sick, I show up today. I'm like, hey, Bobby, did you get my text? No. All right, it's on you then.
Yeah, well, I got a little offended because Dave's like, hey, I sound like shit. I'm like, you sound like me. Wait, does everyone say I sound like this is a bad thing? So I get a lot of compliments on this voice. So recently, I was, a little favorite thing of mine, I was blamed for someone else's failure in stand-up.
There's failure in the stand-up?
In stand-up comedy.
Now, there's a lot of different ways this can take place. Is it because you iced a headliner, meaning you came in as a feature and you did really, really well and turned the crowd against the headliner?
Well, okay. That would be something where they failed in one particular instance.
Yes.
This is a big career arc.
Oh, my gosh.
I was blamed for their non-existent career as a whole. I'm the reason they are not a stand-up as we speak anymore.
Okay, let's see. Did you use your status as one of the top guys in San Diego to call up a bunch of clubs and tell them to never book this person?
You know, people think that ability exists, but it really doesn't. Even the upper echelon, like, imagine that if Chris Rock called the Madhouse, Dave, and said, hey, never let a Ted so-and-so play there, he'd be like, I'm going to forget that name as soon as I hang up, but all right, you know, like what is the question? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is pretty, it's pretty funny how hard it is to get banned. Certain places, some places I'm not going to mention. There's one club we all know that you can get banned for wearing the wrong hat, but there's
hat.
The whole, like, we're banned everywhere. We recently had an issue in the community where there was a guy who's a little bit unstable who kept threatening to shoot everybody and
cocaine.
Kill them and yell and all this kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
He would go up on stage and yell about how he was going to kill everybody and shoot him in the face and all this kind of stuff.
We talked about it on this program.
It took months to get him banned from the clubs. Months. It wasn't like, hey, he's kind of offensive or he tells bad jokes. Like, he's literally threatening the lives of everybody in the venue, and they're like, well, let's see where it goes.
Yeah. I didn't see a dynamite vest. Did you see a dynamite vest? Until I see a dynamite vest, it's a play ball.
He's just edgy.
Yeah. But anyway, no, I was blamed for this guy's failure. Now, it taught me a valuable lesson. I think from now on, I'm not going to give any advice to people who I do not believe in whatsoever, because it might lead to this particular situation, which happened to me now, whereas, like, they'll just fail anyway in spite of any advice anyone gives them.
Right.
And then they'll point to that advice as the reason rather than their staggering lack of talent. So anyways, that's what happened in this instance. One piece of advice I give to people that are a few years in is that, okay, if you're past 4 or 5 years in the game, you shouldn't be doing bar shows for free anymore, because if you put your work in and you've done everything that you need to do up until that point, then bar shows really aren't benefiting you stage wise time anymore, because what that is, it's a promoter who's getting paid by the bar, whatever it is, $200 to put on a show and he needs you to come in and entertain this crowd for 2 hours. And so you need to be asking for a little bit of that nut. Otherwise, you're kind of getting cheated. But if you're not to the 5-year mark yet, then you kind of still need the stage time. I get that.
And also, every once in a while, you need to pop in, right? You need to work some stuff out because you have a big paid gig coming up and you want to jump in. And bar shows are a good way to really learn how to run a rowdy audience. And like you said, by 5 years, you should be able to do that. Every once in a while, maybe you want to go sharpen your sword, go out there and pop in. But that shouldn't be your regular gig.
Right. And I tell people, like, I'm not going to set your price tag for you. You know, like, just make it not nothing. I mean, if it has to be... If your price tag is fucking 2 drink tickets, that's 2 drink tickets. If it's $10, $10. But don't let a promoter that needs a comic that's seasoned of 5 years to come in and entertain his audience and then keep all the money. That's just, right. you know, you're getting fucked. You know, so that's the advice I give anyone that I respect. And with this guy that I don't. So this guy, I don't remember talking to this guy. He's an LA guy. And all of a sudden, he hits me up on Facebook. He's like, hey. Hey, Mr. Advice Man. I'm like, who are you? And he's like, I came to you 3 years ago, and I asked you for advice, and you said, you said by the time you reach the 5-year mark, you should start charging for bar shows. I'm like, and? He's like, well, I started charging for bar shows, and now no one books me. I'm like, well, you were supposed to get better in that amount of time, though. Like, that's not all on me. You know, you were supposed to create some kind of demand for yourself as well.
I imagine this is like a 19-year-old kid calling up like his parents and yelling at them, Hey, you told me I needed to move out of the house at 18. Here I am living in a cardboard box. Nobody gave me an apartment.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you should want promoters to call and book you. I don't know how to help you, man. He's like, well, now I haven't had a gig in months. Thanks. Like, word got around. I was charging. I'm like, oh, man. I just realized that like got around as a joke. Like, can you believe this asshole asked for money?
And also understand the market that you're in, because LA is a different market too.
Right.
And that's a little bit of a different thing. And if you don't understand that LA is its own thing, then and you're trying to use kind of other comic economics from other places there, you might have some trouble.
Right, right.
But by the way, if you were super talented, this wouldn't be an issue.
Right. You know, and you should be getting unpaid club spots by now. That's another thing. So let me ask you guys something though. What is some bad advice, legitimately bad advice, that you guys have got along the way? Because I got some too.
The one that I've gotten multiple times, and I've gotten this on podcast-wise, I've gotten this stand-up comedy-wise, oftentimes from non-comedians, which is always the best type of advice, which is, you need to go clean. Clean is where it's at. You got to stop telling these dirty jokes. You're never going to get booked anywhere, which is so dumb. Because here's the deal. In comedy clubs, you're speaking to adults. By definition, there's no one in there who's under 21.
Right.
You are speaking to adults. If you are just doing dirty stuff for shock value, I'm going to tell my latest abortion joke, I'm going to go, then yes, absolutely, 100%, you're doing the wrong thing.
Right.
If you are trying to clean your stuff up because you think you're going to get a whole bunch of corporate gigs out of this, you're in the wrong fucking biz.
Sure.
You got to play to whatever is funny. You don't say fuck every other sentence because then you become a cliche. You don't go dirty just to go dirty, but you don't exclude adult material from what is supposed to be an adult genre.
Right. But at the same time, I see where that person was coming from. Right. Because
I wouldn't say that's bad advice. Right. It's just they're telling you to make a certain choice.
Yeah. Clean comics do work more.
Right. Sure.
But saying, oh, you won't get booked at all, that's ludicrous.
Well, not just that, but listen, you have a specific style. I like to speak to adults. I am not going for these kind of... I've done a few corporate events. They're great. You get a lot of money and then the whole nine yards, and you can tweak your material left or right for those. But if you are gearing your material for that end, you're not going to be as funny as you are if you're just trying to gear it towards being funny.
The advice that I got early on was you need to quit your day job in order to create desperation for yourself. Otherwise, you'll never be a comic if you don't take that leap and quit your day job, which is fucking ridiculous when you're an open micer. Like, what am I supposed to be, homeless? That's number one. Secondly, you need for your first, you know, 5 or 10 years, you need money to finance this little dream of yours.
Yeah.
Because I remember this one guy. This was Bobby. You're gonna love it. This was a great case of karma.
Oh.
Is that early on I was working this job when I started stand up, And this guy was like, hey, man, you need to quit your job. I'm committed. I'm a real comic because I've quit my job. Now, he wasn't making any money. He was living on couches.
Right.
So, well, we're doing the same amount of gigs.
It was Starbucks' loss. Yeah. He had to quit.
Right. So anyway, he's like, yeah, but I'm a real comic. And he's like, he said something like, yeah, well, when a tour comes along, you won't be able to be on it because you have a job, but I'll be able to take that tour. I'm like, I wouldn't quit. And by the way, who's handing out these tours? Like, I think you have a very warped sense of where you're going.
No, sometimes Julie knew exactly where she was going.
Yeah. So anyways, fast forward maybe a year and a half later, some promoter out of state offered this guy a gig. He's like, all right, we can pay you $500, but you have to fly yourself out here. Yeah. He's like, oh, shit, I have no money.
Right.
And by the way, a few hundred dollars lent to a friend isn't a big deal. But to a friend with no job, he probably had a tough time tracking that shit.
Yeah.
No, you understand. I just need $200, and I'm going to go turn it into $500. Oh, really? No.
Let me see your credit history. Oh, haven't had a job in years.
Yeah,
huh?
So anyway, they called all Mr. Not Committed at Day Job over here and went, hey, he couldn't do it because he couldn't afford the plane ticket. Can you come out? I'm like, sure can. Hey, boss, take it a personal day. So anyway, don't quit your day job until you're fucking making money elsewhere. Dave, bad advice.
I don't know. I can't think of any specific bad advice, but I think a lot of comics like to give advice just for the sake of giving advice, and most of it's inconsequential. Like, guys would be like, oh man, don't lean on the mic stand. Or, you know, just shit like that where it's like, it doesn't really matter, but people just want to hear themselves talk. So I've noticed this thing. I need you to do it too. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
You guys get that a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's people that just like, I deserve to give advice now. I've been doing this a year.
Right, yeah. And also another one is like, you got to hit up all the mics you can. I mean, you do need a lot of stage time, but these guys who talk about grinding, where they're hitting like 3, 4, 5 mics a night, it's like, no, it's...
Make sure you're doing the same shitty 3 jokes all over the city.
You see a lot of these guys, and they're not getting better.
No.
I think the grind part of it that helps you is being able to compensate for different types of audiences, especially really bad ones. You're in a bad, shitty bar. You want to be able to deal with it a bunch. Now, if you do 3 nights in a row, maybe you'll get a whole bunch of different audiences that you have to respond to. Maybe that's good. But long-term-wise, you're not evaluating and developing. It'd be better to do 1 mic and then go right.
So what it does for you is it creates a fortitude that you're going to need, because you're not always going to feel like doing this. You're going to... if you progress far enough in stand-up, there's going to be times where it does feel no different than picking up your shift at 7-Eleven or something like that. Dave saw me the other night, and I was feeling like that. We were backstage at Lestat's, and Dave even took me aside and was like, man, are you okay? And I wasn't okay. There was nothing left in my tank emotionally, because I do so much all the time. It was one of those times where I hit a wall. And I'm like, I've got 5 things going on at any given time, and I have the motor for that, but sometimes you run out of gas. And I did that night. And, but even though I couldn't have thought of something I wanted to do less than getting on stage in front of a full audience, still those years of building that kind of character by doing all those mics did help me through that. And then I got and I think I did a pretty good job.
And you had a great set that night. It was so fun.
Thank you. And then I got off stage and I literally got in my car and started sobbing. I'm serious. I was like, I can't do it anymore. But, you know, sometimes we hit those walls. And when you do, you got to push through them. It's very hard. But when you have nothing in the tank, that is the time where you test your metal. And that is the really time you're really testing yourself. It's great.
Here's one piece of advice that I think a lot of comics jump the gun on. Because you guys have probably heard this. You're at this point already, but before you were ready, comics tell you got to get some merch.
Yeah, right.
You need a logo, you need merch. Like, you've hit that point where that's valuable to you, and you have that. But like me and Bobby, we're we don't have an audience base that would support that.
I also did it too early. So there was I did buy merch, and then there was just a year of me sitting on unsold merch. But to wrap this whole point up, a few episodes ago, I did a little pep talk thing. Me and Bobby did it alone. Uh-huh. And if you enjoyed that, then please heed this advice, is that no matter what bad advice you've been given, your failures are your own and they're your fault. No matter what, the best advice I can give you is own your failures and don't go, well, somebody told me to buy merch in my first fucking year.
Every once in a while you can say, oh, that particular show, I got screwed over. Maybe I was doing really well, and then the drunk dude in the back of the landing started yelling things, and that's that guy's fault.
He was helping.
Yeah, that's that guy's fault. Fine. Every once in a while you got bumped from a spot that you had. all right, fine, that's somebody else's fault. But overall, that's you. Overall, you're responsible for your own stuff. And if you're only picking a few select shows that you end up getting screwed over on, then it's your fault for not picking more shows that you can do better stuff on.
Let's change gears here. Bobby, are you planning a bachelor party at the moment?
I am, yes.
I am also planning one from our buddy John Groobs, yeah. So we're doing this simultaneously.
It is one of those things. It's funny.
Who are you planning yours for?
One of my oldest buddies, a guy I've known since I was 10 years old, close friend. It's funny when you do it now, because I've done this, you know, we've had friends being married for, what, 10, 12 years now?
Yeah.
Dave, you're 35. But...
Thank you for the generous estimate.
It'll be funny, sick.
But it's funny how different the bachelor parties are, because I still remember my first buddies that started getting married, you know, mid-20s, that kind of thing. We're going to Vegas. We're going for 3, 4, 5 days.
Right.
We're doing this up. We're having a crazy party. And now we're in our 30s. Literally every guy except one going to this bachelor party has kids.
Ooh.
And it's one of those things where we're like, all right. I asked him, like, what do you want to do? He's like, honestly, I want to go up into the mountains where it's quiet with all my buddies and drink and hike. That's it. Like that.
Not at the same time.
Yeah,
though,
yeah.
Right?
No, no, we are doing it at the same
time.
You're
going to gas out pretty quick up there.
No, we got a pretty, we have a pretty fun day plan. We're going to
hydrate when you're hiking.
Oh, yeah, that's what the beer's for. We're going to have him stationed. We're on the edge of a state park, and we're going to set up like a whole obstacle course for him where it's like a video game, only instead of picking up like coins and health, he'll just find beers and joints littered around the area.
Unless a hobo goes up there like, yeehaw!
Yeah,
banner day for Sloppy Joe.
Yeah, they don't let hobos up in the mountains. They don't live very long up there. But it is funny because the difference is like
maybe you'll find a hobo being eaten by a mountain lion. That's pretty groovy.
The mountain lion's high as shit from eating all those joints too. That's one of those things though, is like the difference when you're young and old. Like I had to do the bachelor party thing that as the best man, I had to ask him this question, which you don't have to ask in your 20s, you have to ask in your 30s, where you're like, all right, elephant in the room, buddy. Do you want to do the stripper thing?
Because
it's your bachelor party.
Right, right.
Everyone's comfortable with it. You guys weren't at my the end of my bachelor party, but I had a super awkward stripper that was just like, oh, yeah, so sexy. You are so hot. I'm so wet. I'm like, this is the worst.
Yeah. And like, I personally don't even like strip clubs. So, like, when they asked me for me, I was like, I don't care what you guys do. I don't
a good stripper's an awesome thing. I just got a dud.
I don't want to go there. But for him, he was like, yeah, you know what? I kind of do. And I go, okay, here's the other part that you know you're in your 30s. I go, all right, here's what I need you to do. Go check with your fiance.
Because
I'm not going to be the best man that brings the stripper in and gets a whole J-Lo Ben Affleck situation going on.
Sure.
Like, I'm not breaking up
your
marriage.
I don't understand that reference, but
go either,
on.
They didn't get married because he had a stripper at his bachelor party or something like that. So like, I don't want to cause problems with
the
wedding.
That's not someone you want to be married to anyway.
Yeah, but I don't want to cause problems with your wedding. I don't want to get you in a fight. Like, you need to go check with this. And he checked and he came back and he's like, she doesn't want to.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. I could have guessed that.
No. I got Erin a male stripper for her bachelor. She got me a female stripper. It was great.
Yeah.
But I'm planning one as well. Same kind of deal.
Yep.
Is that like his fiance is also a good friend of mine. Was like, no strippers. And I had to do that. See, I was a little different. I had to pull him aside. Like, all right, it's your bachelor party though. I hate to do it. He's like, I do not want anything on my conscience. No strippers. I'm like, done. But then I was like, huh. Now I have to be creative. Shit.
What if I just get him a hooker?
Last bachelor party I planned, it was just like, I just want to go to a strip club and eat a steak and get drunk. I'm like, done. And it was
what are you
easy.
Talking about? That's a Wednesday for me. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm here right now. I got to order a steak while watching Marmalade up there. It's way better than Medieval Times. Anyways, he's like, yeah, I absolutely no strippers. I do not want this thing to like hang over my head and have a guilty conscience. I'm like, okay, no problem, man. But what do I do? So anyways, we're going up to the... We are going to a cabin in the woods.
Oh, that's what we're doing.
Well, we're going to do hallucinogens.
Oh, my God. We should have warring bachelor parties.
Yeah,
we should be like a different summer camps from a young teen movie where we constantly rival each other.
Dude, I'm obviously the bully camp. I mean, come on. I'm obviously the jock cool kid camp. It's clear.
Bring it.
Science nerds.
Bring it.
Oh, wait, that means I lose.
Yeah, you totally lose.
Shit.
We're going to get you.
But we'll have fun.
I mean, I don't see how going to battle with bows and arrows while on mushrooms is could lead to a bad scenario.
We actually have part of the bachelor party is a bow and arrow target contest, so.
Are you going to be on hallucinogens at the time?
I mean, now that you've brought it up.
All right.
All right, sweet. Dueling mountain bachelor parties. This is going to make for a really good podcast.
Wild, wild stuff. Let me ask you, though, this friend of yours that is getting married now, does he feel like he kind of missed out on those 20s, like having that kind of bachelor party?
I think so, because here's the deal. He was also the first of us to get married, and he eloped when we were like 23, didn't tell anybody, went off and got married, and then, you know, was just married.
Thanks for explaining elope to us, by the way.
I was wildly confused.
You're going to lose a lot of listeners on that one.
So he was married through his 20s. And like, so that's a shitty call.
This guy has just made a series of bad life choices. No bachelor party in your 20s, but have to be married to a ball and chain.
Yes.
And then probably got a horrendous divorce at like 29.
Oh yeah, totally. And when you say ball and chain, you've got that right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like that was.
I'm assuming that. Tell me a little bit about this chick, though.
She was a very prudish Filipino woman who had essentially zero interest in his happiness. And he then
married her.
He not only married her, but in order to support her going to school, moved in with her parents in the extra bedroom that she grew up in.
See, that is a very Filipino thing to do, though. Like, and I didn't know that was just what you did if you're Filipino.
Yeah.
And I had this this buddy of mine, Mike, I used to work with. He's like, we live with my wife's parents and her grandparents.
There's always an old person hiding somewhere in the house.
And I imagine that for 1 second, because my fucking wife's mother is a meth addict, so I just imagine that. And I had to live with her for like 4 months. Like, Aaron took in her mom, and it was awful, because she's fried. And
you're fucking saint sometimes, right?
So I just imagined that times four, and I was like, ew, why are you doing that? He's like, that's just what we do.
Yeah.
And he did not look psyched about it either. He just like, that's what
we
do.
And I'm not talking 4 months. I'm talking like 6 years. Like, they were living there. It was just, and he had a good job with the Air Force. They could clearly afford their own place if she wasn't also going through very expensive, like, dental hygienist school that somehow took more than a doctor's education to do. So he had a very bad 20s. Now he's coming into the 30s. Definitely need to show him a good time. I think you were right with the whole hooker thing you suggested earlier.
Oh yeah.
Recently, I just went to the East Coast last week. We had to tape early because I was heading out for the weekend. You guys have traveled. You definitely traveled to the East Coast. And you guys are both from the East Coast, or you spent some time out there.
Yeah.
That plane ride is nothing you look forward to, right?
You gotta do a lot of pre-planning, and it involves like loading up on audiobooks.
Yeah.
Your Wi-Fi is not going to work up there. You make sure you got a lot of books. You got to get audiobooks. You got to get lots of. It's like almost you're your own toddler. You got to find it. I'm like, I need a lot of activities to keep me busy, or I'm going to go insane in the sky.
And none of us are small dudes. We're all over 6 feet tall, so it's never a super comfortable thing.
Right.
You know, you're always super. When I'm getting on the plane, as I'm walking by, I always look at the 5'6" dude who's walking on the plane. I'm like, you son of a bitch. This is all first class for you.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I wish I could sleep on a plane.
Yeah.
Oh,
I can sleep on a plane, but it's super uncomfortable. And I wake up in incredible pain. So we were like, my wife and I were going to go to the East Coast. We're taking our 11-month-old baby, and we're like, all right, we'll get the red eye. Then he'll sleep. We'll all sleep on the way over. It's a 5-plus-hour flight. We'll be good.
Did you really think that was going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's passed out by that time. He's passed the fuck out. Did not happen, and I experienced what is now the worst flight in history. I will gladly sit in Southwest coach for an 18-hour flight before I take another 5-hour flight with a baby. It was insane. It was just the crying, the yelling, the diapers. Imagine doing all that, and he didn't have his own seat. So he's on top of you, moving around, just like being super pissed about everything. The entire plane is pissed off at you because it's a fucking red eye. Everybody's like trying to sleep. Your baby is crying. You feel guilty for the plane. You feel guilty for the baby. You feel shitty yourself. You're exhausted, haven't slept in forever, and are just listening to a baby scream in your ear the entire time. So think about that next time you get on a plane. At least you're not dealing with that.
Yeah. You know, by the way, I can sleep on a plane, but it involves taking an Ambien and then waking up in the cockpit nude. So I'm not allowed to fly on that airline anymore.
But when I got to the East Coast, I noticed some things. I've been to the East Coast a few times, but every once in a while I get there and I notice there's something really different. Like, there's some very significant differences between the East Coast and the West Coast. One of them, and I was talking to Dave about before, which is just mind-boggling. you can't be outside after 3 p.m. because they have bugs. We forget that in San Diego, we just don't have bugs. There just isn't bugs that bother you.
I don't forget. I'm appreciative of that all the time.
It's I grew up here, so I'm spoiled. I didn't realize this. I spent most of my time either here or in the Bay Area. It's pretty much the same deal there.
Yeah.
There's just no bugs. Like, you just do whatever. You're outside. Out there, starting about 3:30, we were at, like, a barbecue. Everybody started going in at 3:30. I was like, what's going on? They're like, you just wait and see. And swarms of bugs just kind of descend as the day goes on. And by 4:30, you're either inside a house or one of their screened-in porches. You are not outside.
So when you say bugs, that doesn't really convey the horror of it. It's mosquitoes.
It can't be. This wasn't even mosquitoes. This is how bad it was. This wasn't even mosquitoes because they kept saying, wait till mosquito season. This was just gnats that just buzz all over your face.
Oh, yeah. Gnats are terrible.
Aaron grew up in Alabama. Yeah. So like after 3 p.m., bugs that look like the fucking Power Rangers would fight them. Like,
In Michigan and Minnesota, I grew up in both those places. The mosquitoes look like the bugs from Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Like they would carry away small children and dogs. Just be like, shit.
Dude, we are so fucking spoiled. It changes their entire lifestyle. Like, you can't go out after a certain period. Or if you do, you're literally, like, we had to go across the street at, like, 4:30 to go get something we left at the barbecue. You hustle across the street, and as you do, you're being swarmed. It's like a video game.
It's like being in a zombie movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it is crazy. So that was number one thing.
I've been out here for almost 20 years. And I can count on one hand the number of mosquito bites I've had.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't exist. Like, you have to go way up into the mountains, and even then, it's kind of rare. It's just one of those things where we're totally spoiled. But the other thing I noticed, and this is more of a sociocultural thing, and I've got to tell you, this is something that made my be wary of traps brain go crazy, which is nobody has fences. So I was in the Boston, New Hampshire area. Nobody has backyard fences. It's just like you have this giant green thing of lawn, and there's just houses dotted along it, and there's no fences in between it. This boggles my mind. Like, when I saw this, I first saw this, and I was like, okay, one, how expensive are fences that we're not investing in this? Yeah. But two, how do you know the social etiquette? Like, where does your yard end and the next yard begin? When your kid's running around, do you just run into somebody?
Where do I walk around nude on Ambien?
Yeah.
And then, no fence.
Hey, save it for the cockpit.
What the fuck do you do with your dog? Is everybody's dogs just lost all of the time?
It's communal dogs, like bikes here in California.
Yeah,
hey, this is my dog today.
It was the weirdest idea. And I kept thinking to myself, one, why? Why would you do this? This seems like a purposely sadomasochistic thing. The idea that somebody could walk up to my back window or my back door, just like walking just casually, and they didn't even have to be a neighbor. They could just be taking a shortcut and they could be walking right up to my back window is mind-boggling to me.
Now, Bobby, you mentioned a bad flight, by the way. I forgot to tell you about one I had very recently on Alaska Airlines. I have no shame in saying it. So I was coming back from a gig out of state. And I got to the airport about 3 hours early, because that's when the promoter could drop me off, and you're supposed to get there 2 hours early anyway. Yeah. I said, fuck it, I'll have some downtime. That's great. So I go and I check in at a kiosk at the front there, and they offered me something. They're like, hey, do you want a first class ticket for $49 extra? I'm like,
wow.
Oh, I don't usually afford myself such luxuries, but $49. They're like, yep, extra leg room, which the three of us know can appreciate. Drinks on us. So, you know, I'm like, oh, this is great. So I bought the upgrade. I check in online. Takes me an hour to get through security. Now I have 2 hours to kill. Fine. It's an airport. There's shit to do.
Right.
So I did that thing, which I've done this. I don't know if you guys have ever done this, where you show up and start killing time, and then you kill too much of it and realize, oh shit, I'm gonna be late to this thing that I was 2 hours early to.
Oh yeah.
I used to do that at work all the time. I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna have, traffic was light. I have like, I'm to work 45 minutes early, and I start playing on my phone, and all of a sudden I check the time, it's 7:15. I'm like, I'm 15 minutes late to something I was early to. So anyways, that kind of happened. I was just at a bar, I'm like, I have 2 hours to kill, la 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 la, order myself some food, and all of a sudden I check, I'm like, holy shit, my plane leaves in a half an hour. Now, that's not so bad.
Right.
But I know from traveling all the fucking time, planes start boarding half an hour before. I'm like, all right, well, yeah, gotta go. I asked the bartender, I'm like, yo, where's this gate? And he's like, oh, that's at the other side of the airport. You actually have to take a tram to get there. I'm like, no. So anyway, I'm like the parents from Home Alone running to this airport. I'm knocking over like little Mexican ladies, like, out of my way. So I'm like Marty McFly on the back of the fucking little cart thing. So anyway, I get there and I still have 10 minutes to spare. And I run up to the gate. I'm like, I'm so sorry. You're not closing the doors, are you? They're like, the pilot's not even here. You're fine. So I'm like, great. And they're like, all right, you are seated. And they show me where my seat is. And it is at the back of the plane, directly next to the bathroom. I'm like,
oh, yeah. That's the, you know what the money seat about that is not only are you next to the bathroom, so everybody's going by, it smells like shit, but those seats don't recline. The ones right against the back, they don't recline.
And so I said to her, I purchased a first class ticket. And they went, oh, yeah, we gave that away. And I said, why? And they said, well, you know, we started boarding 20 minutes ago. I'm like, yeah, that's a very small margin. Right. And by the way, I checked in at the airport at your kiosk. You know I'm here. Like, you know I'm in the airport. And, you know, they're like, well, we already gave it away to a customer that was throwing a temper tantrum. So
I want Ryan to be like, more of a tantrum than this?
tantrum, you say, huh?
And I was like, well, may I be refunded for what I paid? And they went, no, because we comped him that. And I said,
which is kind of
right.
Like, no, we already gave your stuff away.
Yeah, we she said, and by the way, the pilot's not even there yet, so I have time to talk. I'm like, right, but so you're saying I paid for someone else's first class seat? And she smiles and goes, yes. And I went, no.
Oh, sure, I was paying it forward.
And I'm like, I don't know. No, you're refunding me what I paid for a fucking first class ticket. In fact, I read your fucking ticket policies. That bathroom seat is called bare bones airfare. It's actually less than what you pay for coach. And she's like, oh, you're not getting that either. So I'm like, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. She's like, sir, do you want to get on the plane or not? I'm like, yeah. So I go.
Now, the funny part for those of us that are friends with him on Facebook, we got to see this amazing decline because
he's
posted
like,
from the first leg. He's like, hey, I got a first class upgrade, free drinks, and just living high. But then on the flight back, he's like, I'm sitting next to the bathroom.
So, and by the way, there was a tray. You don't realize how many people go to the fucking bathroom on an airplane until you sit next to that motherfucker and they're blowing it the fuck up. There was one lady that just kept going. And by the fourth time, I went, dude, did you hold it till you got on this flight? Like, how many times is this for you? Four? And she's like, mind your own business. I'm like, no! This is my business!
Keep an eye on
you. Yeah, this is my business!
I'm the scout monitor for this bathroom. You know, you should have just looked up every once, like, looked up from your newspaper and gone, UTI?
Is that what's going on? So anyway, I tell this stewardess, I'm like, hey, by the way, I just got dicked over at the gate there. I'm like, they gave away my first class seat. I'm already not getting my fucking leg room or anything. I'm like, can you comp me a free drink? And she went, no, and walked away.
That's when Shores goes into the bathroom, takes all the toilet paper, and it's like $5. You want
to use this? I was too angry to mastermind any vigilante justice, Dave. So anyways, I explained it to like two stewards. Like, I'm like, can I fucking get like a Pepsi or something? And like, they're like, nah, you have to wait till we come back here. You're in the asshole seat.
Yep.
Meanwhile, I'm literally smelling every person's shit.
All I
shit.
Wanted was a Pepsi.
Yeah, nice reference. I tell one steward, I'm like, I'm not very happy. Right? Like this.
That's actually their airline's motto. You won't be very happy.
So this stewardess actually starts fucking with me. Oh. She, like, I'm like, can I get a free meal? Seeing as like they like gave my seat away, and that's part of my ticket I paid for. It's at least like something to eat. And she went, no, we can't do that, sir. And I went, all right. And then she leans across me to the girl sitting next to me, who is a flight attendant. She goes, do you want anything to eat? It's on the house.
Awesome.
And I went, oh, and I'm like, war, war. I put on face paint like Braveheart. I'm like, it is fucking on.
He's going Rambo. They drew first blood.
So I'm like, is there anyone I can talk to once I land? They're like, nope. And then this one steward goes, take it up with social media. And I went, accepted.
Genius.
I went, oh, you.
Now, Ryan, before you get into this, just as a quick heads up, I have heard this before. Not that you should do this, but if you were running into some really annoying flight attendants, I had some friends who were flight attendants. When I asked them, you know, like, what's the worst part of their job? What's the worst part of your job? And she said, I'll tell you, people flipping out, but that's worse for them than us. Obviously, they get banned from a plane, so you don't want to flip out.
Right. That's another thing that I couldn't do, because I don't want them to land this fucking plane in Sacramento and then cuff me and take me off like that pussy screaming doctor.
The real thing that screws them over that they hate is any kind of debris. So it used to be like if you actually had actual peanuts with the shells, but you don't really have those anymore. If you have any kind of debris, trash or whatever, you just toss it in the aisle a little bit ahead of you so it can't, the provenience of it cannot be determined. You toss a bunch of it in the aisle and their little carts can't roll over that. So what it forces them to do is to constantly like bend down and pick the stuff up, or even worse, it gets caught up in the wheels and they have to like unjam it. Their kryptonite is shit in the aisle, like little trash and stuff. So next time that happens, just cut up a bunch of paper, rip up a bunch of shit, and just toss it in the aisle right in front of you.
One thing I did, this is the closest I got to getting kicked off the plane, is by the time shitty stewardess came back with a little food cart, the food for purchase, she's like, by the way, since you're at the back of the plane, we ran out of everything. Yep. And like smiled at me real big. She's like, all we have is beef jerky. I'm like, I'll take the beef jerky. She handed it to me. She goes, $3.75. And I opened it to eat a piece and went, no. And she's like, sir, that's $3.75. I'm like, I'm not paying you. And you know why. And she just kind of like kept going with her cart. And I'm like, okay, small win, but I'm not done yet. So,
you're an international beef jerky thief.
You may have read about me in the papers. So, anyways, I fucking one guy, this nice flight stewardess guy, he was like, "Hey, I heard what happened. You want a beer? You know, it's on the house." I'm like, "Hey, thanks, man. That's the first nice thing anyone's done for me on this flight." And then I heard her scolding him for it, like,
Don't
you accommodate the screwed over passenger?" So anyways, I'm getting madder and madder. So I do. I tweet, fucking, like, you guys saw it. I'm like, fuck Alaska Airlines. They fucked me over. Look at, I picture me, like, with people going in and out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
That bathroom line never stopped. I smelled like 8 kinds of shit. I tweet it, and Alaska Airlines, afraid of any type of publicity, goes, DM me. We'll talk about what happens. And I'm like, I'm still pissed off. So I'm going back and forth with their social media guy, Sean, and he's like, yeah, so what happened? I tell him exactly what I just told you. Then he tweets publicly, hey, Ryan, as per our policy, we don't have to give you a refund. Basically what he said. So the guy is just bragging that they found a loophole to fuck over their customers publicly, because that's the kind of genius they have
right over
working over there. So
he's trying to be like the Wendy's Twitter guy.
Yes, that's exactly what he was trying to do.
But the problem is the Wendy's Twitter guy had a legitimate point and was making fun of somebody who had an illegitimate point.
Exactly. Like this guy was obviously thought he was going to be on Yahoo News viral stuff tomorrow. Like, oh, look at this incredible clapback from Alaska Airlines towards this unruly passenger. It's like, hey, we found a way to fuck you out of your money. Right? Right? What? Oh, shit. And so anyways, the minute he tweets that, like, a manager at their social media site is like, he won't be handling this anymore. What happened? And so I go off. I'm like, I want my fucking money back. So they're like, we're going to, you know what? And this is like hours of my time at this point. She's like, tell you what we'll do.
We'll give you some more beef jerky.
We'll give you the $49 for your upgrade back. I'm like, oh no, not enough at this point. That was what I wanted initially. This would have all gone away. So here's the mistake people make when they're taking on the customer service at a big corporation. They say to them, I am never coming here again. Or that is the last time I give you my business, which this guy didn't give a shit.
Right. Yeah, what you should
say
is,
hurt them.
I'm going back there and I'm shitting in the aisle. That's how I'm handling it.
No, you say, you're never going to be rid of me. I am memorized my face, voice, and the way I type. So anyway, I continued going. I started fucking emailing my contacts at fucking comedy clubs. I'm like, do you use any airline specifically to fly out comics? I'm like, because this is what happened to me. I fucking emailed 15 different comedy clubs, and I started tweeting every single one directly to them on Instagram and Twitter. And finally, I got an email. We're refunding everything. We're giving you a free flight. We're so sorry. It could have been handled differently. I'm like, goddamn right. Cruising with the twos.
Vigilante justice.
Play my, you know what? Play the theme song.
That one was just for you, Ryan. Yes. That was your vigilante.
And Bobby, don't think you just slipped the word provenience in there without me looking it up.
Oh.
It's actually an archaeological word. So there you go.
What does it mean?
It's where something comes from, essentially.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we talked about before how sometimes you get bumped and that can screw you over. That happens in comedy. That is just a thing you have to accept.
Right.
Comedy is very, in a way, libertarian in the sense that if somebody's got more pull than you, they bring more audience members, they got a bigger name, they have more pull with the club, you can get your time bumped at any minute. It doesn't matter how many people you brought. It doesn't matter how much you've practiced. It doesn't matter that this is the biggest set of your life that you have had for a long time, and you've promoted the shit out of this show. At any moment, it can be taken from you. That is something you have to deal with, and if you can't, you got to get out of comedy. But
well,
sometimes...
Well, actually, it wasn't at any moment... Until this most recent instance.
Well, true. Okay. So what I mean is,
here's how it'll work for you guys that aren't comics. You'll have a booked gig at a club. You'll be sitting at the bar, just kind of waiting to go up, going over your notes, and either the GM usually the GM will come over and be like, "Hey, man, you're either off the show, which you came all the way down here for with no pay." Or you're bumped to something ludicrous like 1 o'clock in the morning spot.
Which is basically being off the show because nobody's left in the
No
audience.
One's left. There's three drunk people. So you're gone. And that could be either because Chris Rock just showed up and he's trying some shit out for the Oscars. That is legitimate.
Right.
Or many times in my case, which I talk about in my act, this dude that was on Touched by an Angel for one season in the 90s is here. And he's taking your spot. Like, what? He's not a celebrity.
He's got a TV credit.
He's got a TV credit. What do you got?
Yep.
I'm like, Hulu. He's like, that's the internet. Bye-bye.
Yeah. No, that it's absolutely true. And it can happen on the local level, too. You know, if there is a little show going on, and Ryan, if you pop in someplace, you're probably going to bump somebody. Like, that can happen. It's part of the gig. And people can get pissed about it, and there's some legitimacy to getting pissed, but you just kind of
And I do that locally sometimes. If I want to try out a new bit, I'll show up to a fucking little bar show where I have some pull and be like, yo, man, let me on for like 6 minutes. And, you know, someone will be like, yeah, no problem. We'll bump this guy, but that's not, I mean, he's bumped back 6 minutes. It doesn't really fucking matter.
Yeah. And that can be annoying in the whole nine yards, but Amy Schumer recently had one that kind of topped the cake on that.
Yeah. And I hope it doesn't become a new thing now.
Yeah. She wanted to go up during someone's set.
Yeah.
Now this was a headliner.
Headliner of a show.
He was a headliner. He's an up and comer. He's not anybody. And that's fine.
I read two different versions of it. I read it from the headliner himself.
Right.
Where I feel like obviously he's trying to be nice about it and trying to be like...
Because you don't want to burn bridges.
Right.
Let me just say, this guy handled it great.
Yes, absolutely. What his version of it was, from what I understand, was he was on stage and he heard some voice, "Hey, Brandon." I think his name is Brandon. Hey, Brandon. He looked at it, was Amy Schumer. She's like, "Hey, it's Amy. Can I pop in and do my SNL monologue real quick?" He was in the middle of his headliner set. He's like, "Yeah, sure, go ahead." So he brings her up. Now, apparently he said
Which is crazy, because that's in the middle of the set.
Right.
Like, that is where you have to stop and say, this is new and different. Usually it's, "Hey, Amy Schumer showed up, so you got bumped 10 minutes later, or you got bumped off the show," but that's upcoming. It's not, you're not usually holding a mic talking to people at this point.
This is heckling your way onto the stage, is what this is. And apparently, she follows him on Instagram.
Sure.
So, whatever.
Okay.
Now, what I heard, when I read versions, other accounts from people who were at the club, she showed up and said, "Hey, who's hosting the show? I want to get on." And they're like, "Oh, well, the headliner's on right now." And she's like, "Yeah, but I'm Amy Schumer."
Yeah,
she said,
but that is true. I mean,
but so then,
yeah,
it's
still
found
a fucking dickhead thing
to
say.
It's a dick thing to
but
say. Yeah.
They're like, the headliner's already in the middle of it. He's 10 minutes into his set. And she's like, "But I just need to practice this shit, whatever." So then she walks over and yells his name. Now, when I read that, I feel like, you know, maybe she follows him on Instagram, but she has no fucking idea who he is.
Yeah.
So someone told her his name. And that's when she yelled his name, like, Hey, Brandon, it's me. Like,
yeah.
She wouldn't know who the fuck he is.
And I don't like her in the first place because she's a joke thief. And
at least in her movies. Has she ever been accused of that in stand-up?
Oh, yeah.
Patrice O'Neal.
Boosting material from her dead friend.
That's right.
Which she has no way of saying, "Oh, I never heard that bit."
Right.
This is why it's a shitty thing. One is, once you're in the middle of a set, the shit is already gone. You've kind of missed your opportunity to jump in there. But secondly, if you're going to do something that's, you know, arguably kind of rude, which is bumping somebody, can you at least show up on time? Like, if you're going to do this, somebody else has promoted the show, it's done everything. Can you at least show up in time to bump someone?
Yeah, yeah.
Dislike of Amy Schumer aside, that's just such a shitty thing to do, and I really hope it doesn't set a precedent. Like, I really hope you don't start seeing this happen other places.
I hope other big, like, A-lister comics aren't like, "Ooh, game changer."
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, wouldn't the better thing to do be like, let the headliner finish me? Like, "Hey, you guys, we got a special tweet for you."
Yeah.
Guess who's here?
Dude, fucking, that happened to me. I told you at the Improv, like, Craig Robinson showed up and the manager right in front of me said, "Hey, we can bump this dickhead off. What do you think?" And he went, "No, let's go up after. They'll stay for me. I'm Craig Robinson." I'm like, that's true.
Yes.
Everybody wins.
Yeah.
That's a shitty thing to do. And then I wonder, you know, what's her response been since that happened? Was she just like, "Sorry, guys," or was it like, "Nah, fuck him"?
I don't know. I haven't looked. I haven't heard of anything.
She's not responded. But you know, to be fair, to play devil's advocate, she is hosting SNL tonight.
Yeah,
she's probably had to be a little bit busy.
Right.
Memorizing lines for a live show within 5 days.
But again, as shitty as that was, that guy handled it. The way he handled it was perfect.
Perfect.
He let her on stage.
Yeah.
Let her do her time. Now his name is in the news with her name.
We would have never known who he was. And if he made a big stink about it, we would all be like, fuck you, nobody. Yeah. But like, he probably has a little bit more of a career than he did last week.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's great for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But to that credit, I wonder how you could bump somebody worse. Like, I wonder if the real thing is you wait for them to be in the middle of like setting up one of their closing jokes, and then you just stand up and go, I'm Amy Schumer, let me on stage.
Which I do all the time. I'm sitting there in a blonde wig. All right, let's call it a week. Before we do, any shows coming out, guys?
Yeah, I actually have two really interesting different shows. Number one, on May 24th, I'm doing a show at the Reuben H. Fleet that's also part of a larger night. So if you are a Star Wars nerd, I'm doing a Star Wars-only show. And if you come to this event at the Reuben H. Fleet, you can get tickets at their website. You actually get to go see the new Star Wars movie, the new Han Solo movie, before anyone else. You get to see it before it comes out. There's a big costume contest, a whole nine yards, and then I'll be doing some a whole Star Wars set. I don't have to plug that to anyone. That's one of those shows where you either hear, oh, I get to see Han Solo early and dress up like Star Wars, I'm in, or you're not. So
That sounds amazing for someone who's not me.
And now, then, if you do get shut out of that show, that same night, I'll be at the Comedy Store in La Jolla. So
oh, okay.
Boom. Okay. What's the date on that again?
That's May 24th at the Reuben H. Fleet. And then and that will be my Star Wars set. And then on June 5th, probably at 32 North, I will be doing Nerd Night. And I will be doing a completely different set. And this set revolves around a museum exhibit that I'm actually building about the science of funny.
This is a lecture, isn't it?
Both kind of comedy lecture set science-y things. So.
Have you ever considered just doing stand-up comedy?
Yeah. That's what I do most of the time.
Just straightforward stuff.
Just go clean.
Work clean. So come on out to that. That'll be fun. That's Nerd Night. I think it's $10. And it'll be really cool because it's a multimedia type comedy show where you will you get to learn about the science of funny.
And if you want to see me, I'll be in Oceanside at Midnight Jacks on May 31st. That's Oceanside, Midnight Jacks, May 31st to see me. I'll be headlining that gig. And then on June 12th, I'm back home here in El Cajon, California, at the Burning Beard Brewery. That's our little...
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, that's a great show. You both did it.
Yeah.
I'm doing another one of those with all new comics. So Burning Beard, El Cajon, California, June 12th. Last time pre-sales did sell out. So go to eventbrite.com to get that one. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos. You are so hot. I'm so wet. Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Ooh, motherfucking time is passing by.